You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, welcome to another New Churches podcast. You know, newchurches.com is your one-stop shop, as the kids say, for all church planning resources. They're all free. But go to newchurches.com. You can find all those resources there. Most of you already know that because the podcast is named after the website after the podcast. We love to have conversations with ministry leaders, and particularly ministry leaders who've got, well, hopefully something to say, give us guidance and counsel on important issues. And that's what we have today. Today, we're going to have something probably many of you know the name. You've read his stuff or listened. Ron Edmondson, he's lead pastor of Emmanuel Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and hosts what a lot of us listen to, the Ron Edmondson Leadership Podcast. He was the CEO of Leadership Network, planted two churches, successfully revitalized three churches. And Ron and his wife, Cheryl, have two adult sons, two daughters-in-law, and four granddaughters. And so that's kind of the brief look at Ron's awesomeness. But we've known each other for a long time. And so we're going to have him on for a couple of podcasts, and you can have some of his wisdom as well. So one of the things we want to talk about is people are unsure how to create goals. Is that bad? Is that presuming on God? Is that too much, I don't know, pragmatism, you know? But I think goals are good. I think goals are things. You know, I'm a missiologist, so I want, when missionary strategies engage a nation, what is it going to look like? What are we hoping to see happen? What is it? And as a person who trains pastors and leaders, you know, what do we want to see people lives change? What do we want to see even our church grow? And it's not saying that, you know, that sometimes God doesn't do things different than our goals, but having some goals seem to be a good thing. So we're going to talk about faith goals in particular, creating faith goals for your church. So let's just jump in. Ron Edmondson, thanks for joining us. And would you start with defining what a faith goal is for us?
Yeah, thanks. Ed, great to talk to you as well and catch up and hope to do it someday in sunny Southern California.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come hang with us in the warmth.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it because it's cold where I am today. You know, a faith goal to me is like any goal with the faith added to it. So the intent is to demonstrate your faith in that goal. So for me, that means asking certain questions. Is it going to require me to walk by faith? Is it going to require me to walk without sight? Am I stretching myself? Is this somewhere that I've never been before, or I don't know how to get there, or I'm uncertain? So if you're making a goal for yourself and there's absolutely no stretching in that goal, that's not going to be a faith goal. So I want to set goals for myself to define a faith goal that take me beyond where I've ever been before.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I might have personal goals. For example, you know, I'm trying to get more healthy, you know, and so that's sure. A personal goal. And there could be faith in that. That might be what you call a stretch goal. But when it comes to church, I mean, do you encourage people to set goals for the church? You know, how many goals a year do you hope for your church? Talk to us about that congregationally.
Absolutely. I want our church to have goals, and then I want some individual goals for myself, and then I want each staff person to have some goals. In fact, that's kind of how we evaluate our staff, is you set some goals for yourself, and how did you do towards achieving them? And that doesn't mean, as you said, God is in charge of the increase. And so it may or may not happen the way you intended, but did you make steps towards that? Did you do everything within your power towards what you thought God was asking you to do? And I want three or four and no more. That's basically what I want. I think if you have too many, then you're going to spin a lot of wheels and not make a lot of progress. If you have too few, if you don't have any, that's terrible. And if you have too few, you know, you may be leaving some things on the table. So for me personally, and I've worked with some people that can handle six or seven. That would be an Ed Stetzer kind of person. I don't know many of those kind of people who can do that kind of thing. But for me personally, 3 or 4 is my maximum.
Okay, so tell me though what that would look like, and maybe with a hypothetical staff member, they're setting some goals with you. You're their supervisor, or it might be a solo church planter with a board, an oversight team or something.
Yeah.
What are some examples of the kind of goals you would think about?
Well, one that I would think about, we are a predominantly Sunday school Bible study. Of course, we put all kinds of fancy labels on it, but it's basically Sunday school model of church. But we really are sensing we need to get outside more and have more home groups. I've got a group that meets in my home. So setting a goal for ourselves that this year we're going to increase by, let's say, 5 or 6 new home groups that meet in the home during the week. And, you know, that would be easy for a small church planter to do, to say, hey, we're going to set 2 new groups. Maybe you've got 1 now, and we're going to double or we're going to triple next year and have 2 new groups. So as God allows, as we're trusting in Him by faith, we're going to have 3 home groups at the end of this year.
Okay, so then they lay out those goals. They lay out those intentionality. They're going to work towards that intentionally. So then, you're doing an annual review. I'm sure they're doing more than an annual review. So how in the course of the conversation do you say, you give me an update on your progress over the course of a year, if it's to start, 3 new groups over the course of the year, how often do you touch base on that? How often do they report on their goals? Tell me about that.
Well, I'm not at all a micromanager. So to work on my team, you've got to pretty much self-govern. I'm here if you need help. So if you've set your steps in place, and we break goals down. So here's your goal. What are the steps you're going to take to do that? And who's responsible for each of those steps? And what's the timeline for that? So if you want to start 2 new groups or 3 new groups, then how many people are you going to talk to? I was an insurance guy for a while. How many people are you going to talk to so you make 1 policy? So how many people are you going to talk to that might be interested in leading a group? Have you had those conversations? So when we meet, when we do review, and usually that's quarterly for me, but when we do meet, how many of those conversations have you had? How's that traction going? Where can I help? And that's kind of the follow-up on that.
Okay. So you're asking along the way, you're having those conversations. Do you have categories for different goals, internal staff goals, external partnership goals? Find a good balance of goals that aren't so inward focused, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, sure. We have internal and external goals. So we certainly want goals for the entire church that the staff comes up with. As we're recording this, we've been working on goals for Easter. What do we want with each campus to have? How many in each service? What's our total? So those are kind of church-wide goals. And then every staff member has their own. Certain staff members are assigned more with a focus towards the community. And so they would have goals in the community. We're working on a prison and jail ministry now. So we're setting some goals for that. And frankly, we're meeting and exceeding goals at this point, which is a blessing. And we call that God showed up, because we had a faith behind the goal we set, and yet we're far exceeding that. So we're blaming, for lack of a better word, God for that. God showed up faster than we thought He would. Or maybe our goal setting wasn't faith stretched enough. Either way, we're making them. But so, yeah, everybody, most people have internal goals primarily, but some people on our staff and in our church have external goals as well.
Okay, so they'll have different kinds of goals. And so talk to us, you gave some examples of them. What's the process of creating them? Like, you're going to work with a staff member, or maybe, probably too, you're in a multi-staff church. A lot of our people or listeners are solo in that role. So they might even want to say, how do I start the process of determining goals, praying through, thinking through? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been the solo guy, so I totally understand that concept. And what I always say to that is, everything you learn in principle from the people who have multiple staff, be willing to translate principle. You don't translate practices, you translate principles, but translate that principle to an all-volunteer team. So don't be afraid to ask your volunteers to set goals as well. You may have a volunteer leading in your children's ministry. You want that person to have some goals as well. But if you're setting them for yourself, I would say always with a goal, begin with the end in mind. So start big. What's the big goal that you want to achieve, the faith stretching goal, and then work backwards. I start for a year's worth of planning, I start with a word for the year. I just always have one. And I, and it's something I pray about. It's something I feel led to do. This year, our word's encounter. And so we're looking for ways to help people encounter the living God. Pretty simple, but it's not simple when you go to put it into practice. So what are some goals we can get to achieve that? Maybe that's more people at our worship nights, or that's more whatever. But you start with the end in mind, the big picture. What are you trying to achieve? And then you work backwards from that. And usually for me, that's starting somewhere for a new year, about November timeframe. I always wish I was earlier, but I never am.
Okay, so from there, then you build out. I mean, there must be more specifics that you get to. So how do you personally, I mean, you're in a multi-staff church, so people are rolling up their goals to you, but you're going to have goals. How do you work through those yourself?
Well, that some of that is hard for me, to be honest, because I'm wired for the big picture, and I'm wired for, I'm working with Working Genius now, and I'm wired for that.
Okay, you got to say what Working Genius is. Not everyone knows.
Yeah, Patrick Leoncini has this new, the Table Group has this new assessment called the Working Genius, and it's one of my favorite now that I'm working with. And, I'm a galvanizer, and I can't remember the other one, but I'm an idea guy. And so I have a lot of good ideas that could never come to fruition if it's left to me. So I've done it long enough that I can start to put some strategy on paper. And so I'll take the lofty goal. This is what the end is in mind. Let's go back to the groups. I want to have two new groups. How many people do I have to talk to? When's that going to happen? So I can do all that. But when it comes to building a strategy for most of our goals, I need help doing that. And that's when we call people in to build that out. And what does that look like? It's where an executive pastor and some of our team come in. And again, I hear the solo guy, because I've been that. When I was a solo guy, we were planting a church, I looked to some of the people in our church that were in the business community that were great at getting things done. And I brought them along and said, okay, here's what I'm trying to do. I've got some steps that I know it's going to take. Help me build that out to where I can have a easy to implement plan to where I'm doing the right things every day. You know, when I was in the insurance business and selling, trying to sell insurance, I knew I had to talk to so many people a day to do that. But that's all I knew. I needed somebody a lot more detailed than me than tell me how many calls does that mean I need to make a day, and to build a schedule for me that I'm calling more on Wednesday than I am on Friday because of the workflow or whatever that is. So I have to have help with that, and I'm never afraid to ask for it.
Okay, so you then operationalize that in that you mentioned like you got to make a certain number of calls or things of that sort. So you have these goals, we might call lag measures, lead measures. So you're doing some of those things and scheduling those goals as practices, absolutely. Operationalizing those goals?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me, again, I think it's helpful for people to hear that. So let's say goal is what, and I don't know if you want to share your personal goals, but goal is blank one. I got to build better relationship with key leaders in our church. Okay, so that's one thing I'm going to do. So to do that, I'm going to do this number of calls, this number of meetings a week, and then you kind of filter that into your calendar.
That's exactly right. And so I can give you one of them. This year, we want to launch another campus.
Okay.
And so it may be a complete start from scratch. We've done those. It may be one where we take over where we absorb another church into us. So it could be either one of those, and I would be okay with either one of those. So step one, we wanted to know, okay, if this is a faith goal, because that's what we started with, then where's God already working? So we brought together a team and started looking at the data of who's attending our church and driving in from different distances. And we started to map that out. That was in step one, because we want to know where that is. We don't want to go where we're not welcome, or we don't want to go where God's not at work. So we started doing that. That was the first step in that. And then there's certain relationships, you mentioned that, where who are the people who influence decisions like that? Whether that's for us in our Baptist context, that's denominational leadership, that's That's people, other pastors in the area. So I'm building those relationships as we record this. I literally just came from a lunch with some of those pastors and having those type conversations. So where are some activities happening? And I really believe, so this is where it does become a true faith initiative. I really believe if this is a faith goal that God is calling us to launch another campus, that opportunity will present itself if we're doing enough activity towards it.
Fascinating. And, okay.
Yeah.
So established church, new church, you've planted churches, you're in established churches. What are the differences maybe you see in goal setting in those kind of contexts?
Well, obviously, in the church planting world, you are relying more on volunteers, and that's not a bad thing. We have a campus that was a church plant, if you will. It started from scratch. They meet in a school. I preached there a couple of weeks ago, and I said, "Look, don't be in a hurry to get to a building because you'll lose something when that happens." So you're definitely in a church planting. You're making goals. One, you don't have the money to do it most of the time. Two, you don't have the resources, the people, and those sort of things. So you're making goals. I wouldn't say they're more stretching than in the established church. Certainly you can make those kind of goals, but everything's a stretch because you've never done any of this before. In an established church, when it comes to goal settings, the challenge is to get your people to stretch because everything's already figured out. So when I showed up at this church the first time 6 years ago, or 10 years ago now, I was here 6 years, 10 years ago, I left church planting to come here. I could literally, as long as I preached on Sunday, I could do nothing else the rest of the week and I'd still get paid the same because it was a functioning body already. Right. They had programs and systems and structures for everything. So in that setting, it makes it difficult to get people to say, let's set a new goal beyond what we're doing, because they're like, well, what we're doing is working. Why would we do that? In a church planning setting, it's obvious you got to set some new goals because everything's new every year, at least in the initial years.
Fascinating. Okay. All right. So kind of last question. Totally new to goals. Someone's never done goals before. My experience is that people tend to overdo when they've never done it before.
Absolutely. So
they end up with like, you know, 15 goals, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. You said earlier, 3 or 4, no more. So how do I start? Like if I'm, you know, listening to this podcast in, you know, early, you know, spring, summer, 2023, how do I start? How far out do I plan? What do I make a goal? And give me some advice on that.
Well, like I said, for a new year, I'm starting in November and I use that last 6 weeks of the year to kind of pray about and plan for the next year. I'd love to be ahead of that. And I know people are way ahead of that. But for me, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm doing it based on quarter at the year goals, but then quarter at the most. So every quarter I'm coming up with some new kind of goals for this quarter. So I'm working about probably a quarter ahead most of the time other than those annual goals. And I think when you've got a lot of ideas at the table. I think most of the time, if you had to push, most pastors, they know two or three things they need to get done next year. And most of them are going to be hard. So those may be goals to release a staff member or to release a key volunteer or to hire a new staff member or bring on a high-level volunteer. And those type things are hard. They're risky, all those sort of things. But if it's, you usually know that's a goal I should set. That would be a faith goal. So I would say pick the one or two, probably one if it's that hard, that you're going to attempt next year and go ahead and put it on the list. If you've got 12 to 15 others, or if you don't have any, bring in some people around you that love you, that love the church, and just get a whiteboard in front of you and say, okay, if we're going to take this church to where it needs to go next year, what are the top two or three goals we need to have? And I like to get everybody to list all of them, and maybe there's 30 on the board, and then give everybody two votes. You get to only vote for two out of the 30. What's your top two? And then the top one or two or three or four kind of shake themselves out. And then I have to get along with the Lord again and say, okay, God, here's my list. I'm at 5. I need 4. Which of the 4 am I going to go after? So don't be afraid to ask for help in goal setting. I always depend on that.
Yeah, super helpful, super helpful. Good, good conversation today. Ron Edmondson being our guest. Thanks for listening, as always, to the New Churches podcast. We'll continue our episodes next time. So be sure to like and subscribe and share your review as well. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.